Last two Sundays, we witnessed five kangaroo court proceedings of Jesus Christ. He had one more trial to go, overseen by the Pontius Pilate, Roman governor, who had authority to stop this nonsense altogether. He had authority, he had complete right. But instead of doing what is right, he did what pleased the people. We have so much to learn from this portion of the scripture. Okay, before we go in there, and you may say, if Roman governor, you're thinking, if the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, did not allow the Jesus crucifixion, we would not have a salvation. Correct. But at the same time, God is using human free will, predestined whole thing. Do you understand? So don't try to divide the predestination and human free will in the Bible, because they work together seamlessly, beautifully. We are the one who has a problem. Bible doesn't. All right, we'll start at the chapter 18 of John. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is so joyful to come back to your house to hear from you. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword in living and active. It's a discerner of the thought and intent of heart. Father, we are asking you to speak to us, open our heart to receive, and anoint our heart to receive your wisdom and truth. And anoint the one who speaks. We don't want to hear the man's opinion, except what you have in your word for us. Teach us. Father, we are asking you to your hand be upon the President Trump and all the leaders in this country, and your will be done in them, and they may do what is right in your sight to glorify your holy name. Father, we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel. Four police officers have been killed in the last 5 weeks. Comfort their families and comfort their friends. And also lifting up firefighters and first responders. Also, we pray for the Florida high school shooting situation. There are a lot of angers, hatred, and misunderstanding. Father, we are asking you to give them hope in Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ through this difficult time. We would not have a hope unless you intervene in our lives. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I cannot imagine what it's like to have send your child to school and find out that the child is not coming home. Verse 33 of chapter 18 in John, please. John chapter 18, 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus. This is the sixth final trial. And said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servant would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not here, not from here." Stop there, please. This question, verse 34, from Jesus caught Pilate completely off guard. Instead of begging for mercy or begging for leniency, Jesus here declared the great and permanent difference between God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world. Earthly kingdom are based upon the force, pride, the love of human praise, and desire for domination and self-interest. Am I correct? Every one of them. But the heavenly kingdom, exemplified by Jesus and the cross, is based on love, sacrifice, humility, and righteousness. And is to, that concept is to the Jews' stumbling block, and the Gentile, to Gentiles, is a foolishness. Yet, it is important to note that the first century Christian made no attempt to conquer the unbelieving world blow by blow. Instead, they outthought, they outprayed, and they outlived their lives in such a way unbelievers would take a note. Their weapons were positive, not negative. They prayed, preached, and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Instead of lashing out with another fight, another sword fight, or another lance fight, they extended the love of Jesus Christ. As a result, these Christians dramatically impacted the world. In the end, they prevailed. In retrospect, where is the Roman Empire now? Yes, there is an influence of the Roman Empire. But we do not have a Roman Empire itself. It's no longer a world power. And do any of you remember the Roman Empire's emperor's name? All of them? Yeah, we remember a couple of them. Constantine, Augustus, Nero. We named our son's name Paul, but we named our dog's name Nero, probably, when their dog is a really annoying chihuahua. Don't write me a letter about your cute chihuahua. As a result, these Christians made a difference in the world. There have been a numerous attempt throughout the history to destroy the Christian faith. They will always fail for the one simple reason. Christianity is in Christ. Let me say one more time. Christianity is in Christ. He will prevail in the end and establish his kingdom. And because he includes us, we will win in the end as well. We're just riding on his coattail. Go down to verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born." Would you underline, highlight, circle that word, born. "And for this cause I have come into the world." Underline that phrase, "I have come into the world." "That I should bear witness," underline the whole thing, "from the bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hear my voice." Whole thing. Okay? Let me say one more time. "Bear witness to the truth, and that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" What is truth? "And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" Stop there again. Please note how Jesus answered in Pilate in verse 37. I ask you to note the word "born" to show himself as his humanity. At the same time, he said, "This cause I have come into the world," to explain his deity. You follow me? Jesus not only told Pilate his origin, but also he explained his ministry by telling him, "I should bear witness to the truth." So he talked about his humanity, he was born, and he put this, "I came," divinity, and his ministry, the purpose of ministry, "I came to witness the hell of truth." Yes, Jesus admitted that he is the king, but his kingdom does not come from the authority of the world, rather from the God the Father in heaven. His kingdom is a spiritual. Somebody said, God's kingdom is strictly depends on God's people. I thought, boy, that's going to be sorry excuse the kingdom. If God's kingdom depends on us, pathetic prayer we lift up once in a blue moon, and you, I know you, some of you diligently pray, but the majority of Christians don't pray. Only time they pray desperately is when they are in desperate situation, up to their eyeballs, and crying out to God. When everything is going their way, guess what? God, who is that? Isn't that true? We often forget how gracious He is, and we often forget to thank Him until next 911 situation. If God is depending on our prayer, our efficiency, He might as well close the door. Jesus has never said that He had no kingdom in this world. He does have a kingdom in this world wherever there are people who had to trust Him and yield to His sovereignty. Let's go back to verse 37, last portion of the 37. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And some of you are already thinking, oh, I remember John 14:6. What does he say? Jesus said, I am the way and truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. All right. Then John chapter 10, verse 14, please. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. How do we know Him? By His voice. By combining these two verses, we can relate with verse 37, says, everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice. How do we hear His voice? You have it on your lap. About a week ago, Joy Behr, she is the supposedly comedian in the program called The View in ABC. Anyway, she mocking Vice President Pence that he prayed to Jesus. In her opinion, that's bad enough. But she said it's a mental illness to hear from God. I would dare her to say that kind of thing about the Muslims Allah. If she has guts enough to say that kind of thing. If she said that, ABC would fire her on the spot. But because she went against and mocked Christianity and mocked the Vice President of the United States, out of God, probably they gave a bonus. That's the kind of world we are living in. If you don't hear from God, number one, you are not listening. God will speak to you more than you want to hear from Him. His word is so deafening through this book. Only reason why you don't hear it is because you don't read this thing daily. And you go when you want to hear. Judas hanged himself. So you don't like it. So. And then another verse says, do likewise. Hmm? That's not hearing from God. Long, long ago, I was baby Christian. I did not have a teacher, human teacher. Radio was my teacher. God used the radio. I was self-employed graphic designer. Working probably 80 hours a week, growing a lot spiritually, and I had this hunger for the Word. And I asked the Lord, I was on my face crying out to Him, I want to know You more, as we sang. He didn't say with a booming, very white voice, nor did He write across the sky. But He said in my heart, it is so loud, so clear that I remember to this day. He said, read my word. How are you going to argue with that kind of thing? I never forget that. You want to know him? You want to hear from him? Read his word. Not once in a while. Not when you are in the jamming situation. But daily bread. Amen? I don't believe that the pilot was a dummy. But he sure act like one when he asked the question, what is the truth? But he didn't want to find out, like the majority of people in the 21st century. He asked the question to the truth. And then what did he do? He turned around, walked away from him. How many times people said, I want to know the truth, and they shut you off. And you're about to tell them the truth. Even though Pontius Pilate, he asked the question, truth is standing right in front of him. He shut him off, walked out. There are absolute and moral and biblical truth, no matter what people want to think about. And you can face it or ignore it. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you might have the same problem as Pilate. You have been seeking the truth. You just heard the truth about Jesus through the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? Walk away from the truth like a Pilate? Or step into the truth of God and be obedient to Him? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your heart and all your mind, with all your soul. And love your neighbors as yourselves. You going to do that? Are you going to do that? Now you answered. God heard you. Now you're accountable. Probably you're thinking, I don't like you. Mark chapter 15. Now at the feast, Pontius Pilate was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, the Jews, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For they knew that chief priests had handed him over because of what? Exactly. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd and so that he should release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you called the king of the Jews? So they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Stop there, please. I found this picture from the Passion of the Christ. The guy who is shoved against the column is Barabbas, and Jesus standing there. Pilate standing in front of the crowd, the Jews. He offered a choice to the people, Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas, a murderer, insurrectionist. It's more than comparing between a choice between the Billy Graham and Osama bin Laden. Who do you choose? Guess whom they chose? Murderer instead of Savior. Barabbas? It means, it's Barabbas or Ba-Abba, means son of the father. He was despicable, brutal, hated by the people. Pilate must thought, I'm sure they're not gonna choose the murderer. They would choose this guy, the king of the Jews. They chose the murderer of the true son of God. Again, then you have to wonder, if anyone should be able to say, Jesus died for me, it should be Barabbas. Would you agree? He knew what it was to have. Jesus died on his behalf, innocent in the place of guilty. Jesus represented the law of God, and while Barabbas represented the lawlessness, the people chose lawlessness over the law. And people really haven't changed much over the years. Would you agree? You watch the news. You see this riot happening in the cities. Baltimore, Philadelphia. Bless you. City of Brothers, Philadelphia, in their city, and they were having riot. Why? Because they won Super Bowl. Really? You got excited, so you start to riot, and you raid into the Nike store, and you stole the $300 sneakers, but you left all the work shoes there? I don't know how the mind of these people work. They are entitled to get the free things. No value for the work ethic. Speaking of the taking one's place, we see beautiful illustration of sacrificial ritual from the book of Leviticus, one of my favorite book in the Bible, that explains our Lord Jesus Christ, what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1, please. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. Don't just sit there without turning your Bible. Third book from the beginning. Chapter 14. By the way, how many of you guys are following the daily plan? Did you follow the Leviticus? Did you survive? Good for you. I'm proud of you. Numbers not much better. Verse 1, chapter 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, there shall be the law of a leper for the glory, for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. Verse 3, I want you to note this. The priest shall go out of the camp. Note that. And the priest shall examine leper him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is, note this phrase, to be cleansed, two living and clean birds. And then, what's the next item? Cedar wood. Next item? Scarlet. Some of your versions say scarlet yarn. That's a good one, actually. And then what's the next item? Hyssop. And the priest shall command one of the birds to be killed in the earthen vessel over what? Running water. Verse 6. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Verse 7. He shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy and shall pronounce him clean. Note that. And shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And I can see some of you guys looking at me like a deer looking at the headlight. I don't get it. I don't care. You better get it. I'll explain to you. By the time I finish this, you will get it and you're going to say, wow, God, Okay, let's start. There is no known cure for the leprosy to this day. Okay? Then we have a question regarding chapter 14. Why do we have a ritual for the law for the leprosy? Known cure, no known cure. Guess who can cure the leprosy? Only God. In other words, this ritual never been used until when? Jesus healed lepers. Think about it. There's no record of the leper being healed in the Old Testament other than Miriam, Moses' sister. Remember? No, take it back. Nahum, the Assyrian general. But he was not a Jew. And Miriam didn't go through because it was before the Old Testament law was given. All right, never been used. Priests knew about this law, but they never used it. So probably if they were like me, and they had some Green Valley moment, they probably forgot about it. So when the leper came, healed by Jesus, they had to, let me look at it. Oh yeah, it's in the Leviticus. Starting with the verse 3. Since the unclean leper wasn't permitted to enter the camp, priest had to go outside the camp to minister to him or her. That means since we couldn't go to God, Jesus came to us. The greatest physician, our God, makes house call to each and every sinner right where they are. Luke chapter 19 verse 10, our memory verse says, the Son of God has come to seek and to save which was lost. Second point I want to show to you is in verse 4, birds don't belong to the earthen vessel. They belong to the heavens. Jesus came down from heaven and became a man, earthen vessel. In chapter 4, verse 4 again, cedar wood. Remember one of the elements? Cedar wood is extremely resistant to the tree disease and it does not rot that easily. And he represents the sinless Jesus as a man, as well as the symbolic reference to the wood of the cross. You following me so far? And you're wondering, what's a scarlet thing? Scarlet is a sign of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Scarlet should be translated as a scarlet thread or scarlet yarn. That's a better translation. It also reminds us that Rahab, remember, in Jericho, the prostitute, she was instructed to put out the scarlet cord as evidence of her faith in the God of Israel. In verse 4, hyssop. Some of you guys, oh, I know hyssop, all right? Hyssop represents the faith of the individuals. It was the application of the redemption in Christ. Remember the first Passover. They dipped hyssop in the blood of the lamb they just killed for the family. And they painted the post, doorpost, up and down each side and then top. What's the shape you're getting? Up and down and cross. And you're thinking, this is rigged. Really? You just found out? So the death angel would not kill their family and pass over them. In verse 5, one of the birds that was killed in the earthen vessel, of course, represents the physical body of Jesus Christ on the cross. Again, on verse 5, over running water represent the Holy Spirit. Note that it was not the water sitting on the pan. Running water, always fresh and living water. In verse 6, we find the living bird that was dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water is released in the open field, represent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, if the Jesus was killed for our sin and stay in the tomb, he was nothing more than a Messiah wannabe, dead body in the tomb. But his tomb was empty and he is risen. It gives us a hope for our own resurrection and new life in heaven. Ninth point, verse 7. Priest shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy. 7 times. We find the number in the Bible often. Numbers. What does a 7 represent? Perfection. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission. Of course, the blood of Jesus is perfect to save souls of men. Amen? Final point. The priest shall pronounce him clean. How did one who had a leprosy know that he was cleansed? Priest told him so. How do believers today know that God has saved us? He tells us. Through what? Going back to the word. You know, I cannot understand why any Christian would go to church. That church does not teach the Bible. They crack one verse and then they go from there to the rabbit trail, never to come back. If you get to go to some other church, because you go to some other place, make sure you go to Bible teaching church. If the pastor smiles a lot like a Joel Osteen and go in the lunch and all the others encouraging word, that's all he does, walk away from him. Go to church where you will hear the word of God in context. Did you get that? In context. Now we find group of people, the mob. Savage chant began to surge through the word, crucify him, crucify him. These are the same people cried out 4 days ago, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord on Palm Sunday. 96 hours ago, they were about to put him in the throne room. Now they want to kill him. They are controlled by the religious leaders and follow them without knowing the truth. The most unstable thing is a mob mentality. Today, every person must also answer the question that Pilate asked the crowd. What do you want me to do with him whom you called the King of the Jews? This is a universal question that every person must face. This question is as relevant for us as it was for Pilate. What will you do with Jesus? Is Jesus the Savior in your heart? Is Jesus the Lord in your heart? Wake up. Some of you guys are, you keep it up, I'm going to call your name. And make you stand on top of your chair. By now you are all woke up, right? Will you submit to him? Or will you fight over control of your heart? It's easy to make him to be the savior of your life. But it's difficult to let go of your heart and let him be the Lord of your life. Do you know the difference? I hope you do. That's the ultimate question for everyone's life. Matthew chapter 27. Told you we're going to go through all of this. Matthew 27, verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, that's Pontius Pilate, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. Pontius Pilate's wife, Claudia Procula, daughter of Augustus, married to him. History not only tells us that she had converted to Judaism while they were in Israel, but also that following this event, she became the follower of Jesus Christ. Go down to verse 24, please. When the Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just met person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Pilate could not wash his hand of this. He could wash his hand 100,000 times, still blood is on him. It was responsibility that could not be avoided, and his guilt was echoed throughout the centuries. Hidden in the Pilate's attempt of the self-justification is a declaration of Jesus' innocence. Yet he did not do it what is right. How many politicians do the same thing today? Like the Colorado senator, I forgot his last name. First name is Corey something. Yeah. Looked like a pretty boy. He was talking about he will do anything to stop Department of Justice nominees, federal prosecutors, because they are standing against legalization of marijuana. Because the Colorado state is so out in the boondocks and the la-la land, it's because they smoke one too many pot. He rather please the people, the voters in the state of Colorado, than standing against these illegal drugs. If you think the pot, marijuana, is good for you, you haven't seen the reality. What it does to your brain and what it does to your children. And what kinds of crimes and damage it causes to the world and your family, your community. You can say all you want. It helps me. Yeah, it helps you to go la la land and do stupid things. The Jewish leader said, His blood, go back there, His blood be on us and on our children. They were so blinded to kill Jesus, they were calling down God's wrath on themselves. You know what happened? AD 70, God's judgment gavel fell on them. God destroyed entire Jerusalem. Not one stone was left standing in the temple. The temple they cherished so much, all destroyed. An entire population of the nation dispersed all around the world. God's judgment does not come down immediately. Just because He doesn't judge you immediately for your sin, don't ever think that He forgot about it. He's not from Green Valley. His judgment grind slowly, but it grinds exceedingly fine. If you have a sin that you did not confess, you need to be right with God by confessing to Him and repent, turn away from that sin, never to go back. Remorse doesn't count. Feeling bad, you got caught, but if you have a chance, you're going to do it again. God will not accept that. Application number one. Absolute moral biblical truth exists absolutely in spite of anyone's objection. Every time we stand against them, we are taking the side of untruth and embracing deceit that comes from Satan. You know, I used to like debating. I realized it was pointless because you cannot take anyone to heaven by argument. One time, these people who believe in relative truth, you know what the relative truth is, right? Depending on what you're thinking, truth can be different. And then I asked them, you believe the relative truth? He said, yes. You don't believe in absolute truth? Yeah. You believe that absolutely? Then they kind of look at me like, I don't want to say absolutely, because if they say absolutely, they just came up with the absolute truth, right? Game over. Even they said, those who believe the relative truth, they have absolute moral, absolute truth. They just don't want to admit it. Second application. Ask yourself this question. What do I do with Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Do you do what He says? Or do you pretend you don't hear Him? Like your cell phone. You're breaking up, God. I cannot hear you. Whichever you choose consequences to follow. Third application. Do what is right in the sight of God. Do not be concerned about what other people's opinion is. Yes, it means you are not going to be popular. Yes, it means you are going to be ridiculed. Yes, it means you are going to be called weird. You are weird anyway. But God smiled at you and He called you, "That's my child." Isn't that better? Let's stand up and pray.